www.coreresonance.com. Welcome, Jim, to People of Distinction with Al Cole. This is really a pleasure to have you on today. How are you, Jim?
Al, I'm great, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to get ready for a great show here. Jim, I want to start it out with, before we even get into Core Resonance, I want you to take a minute here and introduce yourself to my audience and tell us a little bit maybe about your background as well, so that we can get an idea of where you were born, some of the background of Jim Hamilton. Fill us in a little bit about that, your background.
Well, of all things, I was born just outside of Detroit, Michigan. I lived in Detroit or in that area for the first 10 years of my life, and then Atlanta for 10 years, and then Dallas for 10 years, and then Key Largo and Fort Lauderdale for 8 years. And then I've been in Phoenix and in Sedona for about 20, and I was in California for a few years. And curiously, Atlanta, Dallas, Phoenix, and L.A. are all on the same latitude. I think that's quite curious. I don't know what it means. but following the sun, I don't know.
Well, we're going to find out here.
We're going to
explore a lot of things, including latitudes and longitudes and everything else here. Now that we know a little bit about your background, where you're from, and you're obviously traveling around a lot, and you're meeting a lot of the human family and feeling comfortable with a lot of people in different areas, so we love that. Let's talk about Core Resonance right now. Core Resonance is your baby. You've established that, and you're doing it in such explorative, innovative way, natural state of connection with innate intelligence. Tell us a little bit your interpretation of innate intelligence here, Jim.
So let me explain it as an addition to what we were just talking about as I was growing up. As I was growing up, as a very young kid, just, let's say, coming out of the womb, you know, as I became grounded in the world, I started looking for an authority figure that had its act together, let's say. And as I was really young, of course, it was my parents. And as I grew older and into my teens, as teens often do, my dad didn't really fulfill the picture that I expected. And church didn't. I had 10 years of perfect attendance in Sunday school when I was a little kid. I was forced to go, but... So between my dad as an early authority figure, the church is the next, the school system is the next, and eventually the government, I didn't find any authority figures that really had their act together, and I kept looking. And I ended up aligning with the idea that there's an order that everything abides by. And I don't care if it's planets, I don't care if it's the space between molecules. There's an order that everything abides by, and that's where I finally came to rest in my search for a grounded authority, if you will, that had its act together. And that's the beginning of how I would define innate intelligence. If I were to take it a step further, I would say you'd see innate intelligence in everything outside your window, and I'm really speaking of nature. Nature is just... There's an order that everything shares. Nature is part of that. Again, the stars and the universe and bigger. And as I sometimes say, as far as the biggest telescopes can go and as fine as the finest electron microscopes can go, everything is order. There's no chaos in the overall scale of things. And the only place you'll actually find that is in the human realms. But we're talking about innate intelligence right now.
You know, what you're saying is gripping me, and I know it's gripping my listeners as well. When you talk about native intelligence and innate intelligence, we're talking about peace. You know, peace is an underused word, just like consciousness is underused, and they're both integral to everyday life, not just the deep stuff. But we know that, we want peace in our everyday lives. When we get to know the things that preceded us, when we get to understand that we are all very, very much the same with the incipient aspects of who we are, what we were before we even gained any sort of realization of what we are. That becomes a means of peacefulness in our lives. We don't necessarily have to de-stress at the gym. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. We don't have to de-stress with popping pills and alcohol and, you know, drugs and other means that people say, well, yeah, I'm having a party and having a great time here. Sometimes we can, de-stressing isn't even the actual term. It's just living in peace through understanding our real heritage, understanding our, we could even say, God heritage, and not only our God, but understanding the God heritage of everybody and respecting that and putting in that realization into our consciousness that is, in fact, the consciousness of that overmind, that highest self that relates now energetically to all selves. Is that a big part of your work, Jim, what I'm stating right now?
Well, absolutely. The heritage is a good word, and what curiously jumps to mind, and I've been trying to explain this to people a little bit lately, and that's that everything in the plant, animal, and mineral kingdom, all of that is first off alive in a manner of speaking. It's all a subset of God, and as we come to understand that everything is one, if you will, the concept of love, the concept of allowing becomes available, because first off, why don't all the minerals in the ground, I'm not saying anything against evolution, but why doesn't everything turn into one big lump? Why doesn't all the animals, you know, kind of become gray and become one animal? It's because everything has its own identity, and there's something that orchestrates that. And I don't want to confuse my personal opinion of God as being somebody that has arms and legs and knees and, you know, like some kind of a human countenance, because it's not even close to that. It's more like a principle. But there's an order that everything abides by, and it is the commonality that we all share. And as we come to understand that, this capacity for love, this capacity for allowing, this capacity for acceptance suddenly dawns on us. And, of course, that's what my work is about. And you know, you and I have a lot of things to talk about and share, and we have a lot in common. And, you know, wanting to get our messages out into the world is huge. And, you know, I'd say just in time.
Right. And, you know, when you talk about universal intelligence, innate intelligence, the way that that you're talking about it right now, and when we talk about the peaceful states of mind because of connecting to all of that, we're talking about essentially a different sort of world around the corner. And it might be really just around the corner. I don't know. You know, it could be something that's going to take some time as well. But I always like to think, I'm optimistic, I like to think that you know, we can change things in a hurry here. Give us some examples of different ways that we can, you know, practical things that we could be doing differently in our everyday life if we were aligned with that beautiful universal order, if we had the synchronicity with that order in our everyday lives. What would be some of the differences in our everyday lives, like when we get up and go to work and this? And tell us a little bit about these pathways.
Well, it's a great question. I would begin with the idea that as we raise our consciousness, we rise up to the order that everything shares. In other words, humans kind of go around in circles, kind of in mud puddles a little bit, if you will, and we kind of lash out at each other, and we just kind of beget more of the same. And ultimately, you'll find the foundation of that is based on resistance. In other words, we fight what's wrong, we resist what we don't like, and we find ourselves bound up in so much of the troubles because we will have judgment about what we don't like and what we don't want, and we don't realize that under the concept and the ideas of law of attraction, what you focus on expands. And so the simple answer to your question is allowing is the beginning of the true journey, because otherwise what kind of earmarks humanity is resistance by its very nature, and you'll see that's opposite of the way the rest of nature operates. So as we would come to get up in the morning and begin our morning with gratitude, for example, rather than the news, watching the news and going, oh, those so-and-so's over there, they're getting what they deserve, or, you know, I don't even know what a good analogy is, but there's an order that's available, and if we would learn how to tune into this order, at the very least, we would start stepping away from resistance. And when we recognize the part that resistance plays in our reality creating, the way our lives turn out, as we would step away from this resistance factor, it becomes a huge component in shift. And regarding the idea of things changing in an instant, humanity as a species creates reality with resistance, with fear and doubt. And what people don't realize is the reality that we all live in is held together by the cheapest of glue, and that cheapest of glue is fear and doubt. And if we were to learn how to raise our consciousness, and really all that is about allowing instead of resisting, our reality creating would shift, and it would start to be held together by love instead. And I think that you would find that the world would turn around far faster than you think, and then there's an exponential multiplier, you know, Dr. David Hawkins' work and map of consciousness and things like that. But I would say allowing our neighbors and allowing our differences is the beginning.
Absolutely. Oh, man, you're making so much sense. We love this. We've got to love it. People of Distinction with Al Cole. We've got a great guest here, Jim Hamilton. We're going to be expounding on this big time, people. So I want you to stick around. You're loving it now. Boy, you're going to love it as it progresses here. And run to this website, coreresonance.com. That's www.coreresonance.com. And visit, you know, all of the exceptional work that Jim is doing. And I want you to, you know, support what he does as well, because he's certainly supporting you in everything. We're going to turn the corner on something very, very interesting here, Jim. And I'm going to give it a little intro into direction. Now, when I'm out there speaking, or even on my show, or whatever I do, with people of distinction in my conglomerate in general, maybe there might be somebody that asks me, well, Al, how can I be more peaceful? And I'll shock them. And I'll say, oh, well, you know, it's not too hard. All you have to do is visit your inside body. What do you mean? What do you mean by inside body? You think your body is just your mirror reflection. No. In the same way that a doctor can tell you about your inside body or inner body, you can tell yourself about it. All you have to do is start the motion off with looking at your right hand, approaching your right hand to your heart, the biggest electromagnetic area of the body. And before you touch your right hand to your heart, kiss your right hand. Hey, whoa, what do you mean? Kiss my hand? Yeah, kiss your hand. That's gratitude right there. And once you connect your hand to your heart, now that gratitude of kissing your hand is now kissing your heart, creates that beautiful connection spiritually with magnetic energy and everything, all these good things. You can actually visit the inside of your body. Now, once you start doing that, you are going to be so amazed at the beautiful universe within that it has to resolve itself in peace. And you might even see that white blood corpuscle on the inside that is shaking your hand and say, brother, I saved your life last night. And you're saying, wow, thank you so much. That's gratitude again. And you're thanking some blood corpuscle that is actually you on the inside, And they're working 24/7 thanklessly most of the time, and now you're realizing it. And now that is really peace. It's like, whoa, nothing can go wrong in my life anymore. I'm shaking hands with my own insides. That's one of the ways that I introduce people. How do you introduce people, realistically? If somebody comes up to you and says, well, hey, you know, Jim, I want you to be my coach here. I want you to really take me through some exercises or things that that I can really experience innate intelligence and universal intelligence with. What are some of these particulars here that you would teach people, Jim?
Al, another great question. You know, what comes to mind is I do a lot of coaching work, and with depending on, you know, what's going on, one of the things I like to introduce people to is the concept of the unknown. And I use the unknown with a capital U to represent kind of the divine version of the unknown. And what I suggest is that everything of interest comes from the unknown. Everything. Nothing of interest comes from where you've already been. You can go over the things you've already done or the great football game you were played in or whatever. But everything of interest comes from the unknown. And when we learn how to partner with the unknown, and see, that's what my work's about, is partnering with innate intelligence. And the unknown is just another aspect of looking at the same idea. How do we get out of our little picture? And by the way, you know, our mind kind of runs things. It's actually a guard dog for a brain on overload. But and so we're limited in our past by our capacity to look forward. And you can have things right in front of you, literally, that you don't see. And they're there, and you don't see them. And so what I try to do is teach people about what's next. And what's next is the horizon. I use a capital H on that also. So in fact, I wrote my next article that comes out next Friday, and I wrote it yesterday. And I talk about the unknown with a capital U and horizon, and with capital H, and the idea that everything of interest, that's where it comes from, and learning how to partner with that, learning how to, I won't say tap into it, I'd say partner with it's a better term, because there's an idea of that we want to get away from our I identity and more merge with this bigger picture, because in the long run we want to end up with in presence, and in presence we have access to guidance, and that's where everything of interest comes from. And so, you know, I'd like to say I have an elevator pitch, but the truth is, anytime I meet somebody, especially for a good conversation, it's always intuitive, and so it's always different. But in the long run, partnering with something bigger than ourselves, and I suggest if you're going to partner with something bigger than yourself, it ought to be, you know, eminently successful, and and that's where we all have to learn how to go. We have to re-enable our natural state of connection with the cosmos, and in doing so, we become a means by which solutions are delivered into this dimension, and it's really what my work's about.
That's right. And, you know, another interesting thing about your work, the advancement of athletic and you know, spiritual goals here, the athletic aspect of one's personal development is across the board. It's not limited just to athletes. We understand a concept called illumination, where many athletes will play ball in their sleep, mm-hmm. and wake up a better athlete. They might be shooting hoops in their sleep. Or, it doesn't even have to be in their sleep, but, concentrating outside of the court on visualizing, the basket going into the hoop, or visualizing the pitcher, you know, pitching that curveball, and then they smash it over the left field wall, things along that line. Visualization, illumination, very, very important in athletic activity. And it should be very important in our own everyday activity, too. How do you teach that, the athletic upliftance of our lives?
Well, let me say first, just for fun, that when I used the term athletics on the web page, I certainly included ballerinas and all of those interpersonal performance capacities that people express. And so, you know, you've got football players and basketball players, and you've got you know, golf and all these things, but I distinctly, for some reason in my mind's eye, I think of ballerinas. Not sure why, but to answer your question, there's the illumination aspect, as you say, you know, where you learn how to use the mental game of practicing and feeling the success of swooshing the ball in the net, if you will. What I do is I go a little bit, and it's a little bit the same idea, but a little bit further along. And I'm sure you're familiar with the term the zone. And when people are in the zone, athletes are in the zone, and again, I like ballerinas for some reason, I don't know why, they are out of their mind completely. They're in the zone. And in the zone, frankly, they're in their connection with the cosmos. And true, people might use training to get to where they can jump into the zone, if you will. In other words, you don't do it by mind. It's a letting go. And it's in that zone that you find guidance and you find your game, if you will. And when you can get a whole team to go down a court or a whole team on a dance floor where each and every one of them is out of their mind, as funny as that sounds, you're heading in the right direction. Now, I use neurofeedback. This is how I really discovered what I discovered, this access to the cosmos. I've got 40 years of meditation now. I was blessed with what I would call an uncommon amount of common sense, if you will. I have no real formal education, barely got out of high school, actually, started meditating a few years later. This connection became evident through meditation, years of meditation, where I learned how to listen with my nervous system, is how I used to describe meditating. And then in 2006, I discovered neurofeedback. And in my first five sessions, after having finished my first book, I realized there was something different, because my first book is about how we create our realities, and my realities were shifting based on my first five sessions of neurofeedback, and it took a whole year to figure out what was going on, and what was going on was I was accessing non-resistance, and in non-resistance, my realities were starting to come out differently. And so now I've got 300-plus sessions, and I have my own proprietary protocols and my own gear and this and that. And the zone is where we want to get. And the zone could be described as presence. And in presence, you'll find guidance. And there's almost nothing more powerful than a group in presence and a group in guidance. Going down a court, doing the many different things they might do. And, of course, you know, the latest iteration of my work is called Core Resonance Colonies. I don't want to jump, you know, the conversation. But, you know, it's about getting people committed to cleaning up their nervous systems, refining their nature, and coherently as a group reaching out into the cosmos to find guidance and deliver solutions.
Now, that is something that we're going to really be talking about here. When you talk about, I mean, that's, you're getting into one of the exceptional aspects of your work. I call it neurofeedback. It's generally referred to that way. You have a beautiful explanation of it under coherent nervous system. Stick around, people. We're going to get into that really heavy after you get into his website again. Jim Hamilton, special guest on my show, People of Distinction with Al Cole. Run to coreresonance.com. That's www.coreresonance.com, and explore everything that we're talking about right now with innate intelligence, the harnessing of spiritual energy and intelligence, everything that could transform your life, that could, will, if you understand it the way that Jim does, and he's a great coach, he can deliver that to you. Just run again to coreresonance.com. Let's expand on that, what you were talking about, that we generally think of neurofeedback, your coherent nervous system. Tell us what that means more. Expand upon it even more here so that the listeners really get clued in on that great, great concept and the actual work that you do in that area, Jim.
All right, so let me give you an idea. I say first off that everything is a subset of God. Everything is a means by which God or innate intelligence expresses. And in that, you'll find an order that everything abides by, and somehow the humans got out of sync with that. And when we got out of sync of our natural state of connection, which that included guidance and our ability to interface and mesh with the rest of the world, when we got out of that connection, the brain became became a processor. In other words, the nervous system is actually a receiver. It's like our nervous system is like a living antenna system. And when we got out of our natural state of connection, the single biggest part of the nervous system, the brain, which, by the way, four of our five senses plug directly into the brain. Sight, taste, smell, hearing, four of the five traditional senses. And so as we lost our natural state of connection, the brain started manually processing the world. This is my opinion. And as the brain got into overload, it set up the mind as a repository of automated, habitual, and reactionary responses to everything. And that's where humans got into this. We got out of sync. That's why we're out of sync with everything else. And so the mind became a guard dog for a brain on overload, and it basically spits out reactionary responses or conjecture based on facts that we've already acquired by some manner or other. Now, so one of the things that means is that the brain on overload, and I think you'd probably readily agree, everybody's brain is on overload. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. And so what I do is I use neurofeedback to quiet the brain. And it's like knocking down the static and noise and racket in the brain. And what's curious is most neurofeedback will start with a diagnostic of some sort or other, a brain map or something. And they will say, oh, your brain's out of balance this way and that way, and we're going to use these different protocols, and we're going to kind of push frequencies around, or we're going to build frequencies over here, or push frequencies down over there, and try to balance your brain out. And in many respects, a great deal can be accomplished. So I'm definitely a neurofeedback guy. But what I've done is I'm in what I imagine is probably the 5th percentile crowd that's discovered that you can let the brain clean itself up rather than a guy in a lab coat and a clipboard dictating what your brain should look like. So I give the brain exercises, and what the brain does is it pulls together the different parts of the brain, if you will, different components of the brain, to talk to each other to complete the exercise. And so in the simplest terms, in giving the brain exercises through neurofeedback, we're causing the brain to become coordinated. The more refined terms, we're causing the brain to become coherent. And it's similar to defragging a hard drive, because as you reorganize the hard drive, the programs pull up faster and the performance increases. And the difference, of course, is defragging a hard drive is a programmed mechanism and software mechanism, and instead we're letting the intelligence of the brain, by kind of throwing things around, by causing these exercises to occur, that the brain will clean itself up. And as it does, the static and noise and activity quiets down. And in this, as the brain quiets down, the subtle connection with source becomes evident, and we can build on it. And as we build on this connection, which I used to describe as kind of what I thought was maybe a corny expression, but I've been using it now for 8 or 9 months, and it's actually quite true. As we quiet the brain, re-enable this natural state of connection, it is going home. It absolutely is. And as we start to go home, we naturally quiet down. We naturally move out of resistance. We naturally quit flopping around and being so excitable about things, because something very real has come to us. And while it takes a while to build on it, what's even more curious is the mind does not fight it. The mind will let this process occur, even maybe knowing that its own demise is coming. Because you think about the ego and its identity and its importance and this and that. And the ego will not surrender to anything that comes along. But I notice clearly that the mind, over a period of time, surrenders to re-enabling this natural state of connection. And to add a little bit to that, I see it like a corridor behind over my right shoulder. And this corridor, like I say, kind of reaches toward home. And as we build on this connection, which is what my work is about, a lot of it has to do with introspection, neurofeedback, the work, the core resonance training is a very distinct component. And as we build this connection, there comes a point where innate guidance comes back down this connection, and it takes over the processing of the world on your behalf. And in this capacity of innate intelligence, innate guidance processing the world on your behalf, you truly settle into non-resistance and allowing. Because when you're running your own brain and your own mind, these two little tools that don't run so hot, according to Joe Dispenza, there's 400 billion bits of information out there, ever-changing, and the conscious part of the brain is only processing at a rate of 2,000 bits a second. That is an infinitesimally small amount of ability to take in fresh information, and that's why I know the brain was never meant to be a processor in the first place. So,
whoa there. Now, Jim, you know, you have said something revolutionary in just the last few minutes. You're talking about, my words, you're talking about God talking to God here. That is one of the ways to streamline it to our listeners. It doesn't have to necessarily be as simple as that. But we have, look, people, we can feed back the beauty of, and beauty is my special word for God, the beauty of the universe into the beauty of our lives. Jim, it's just run it down here. And it, the result of this is a sense, if we put it in mundane terms, a sense of love security. We know that the family filters in to our upbringing, our mother and father. If we have a beautiful mother and father, by worldly terms right now, someone who gives us that beautiful feedback about who we are, that nurturance that we need at very young ages, we develop a security that we are loved, that we mean something in this world, that we rate, put it in your own terminology here, it all means the same thing, that our life is worth living, and that our life is worth giving, to others for the edification of their life. Now, when we serve other people, that is our feedback to their beauty. We do that all the time, and we don't even realize that we're doing it that way, and we do just the opposite a lot as well, where we feed back to them something that is illusory, and we help to cause them to be a loser. All right, play on words there. The illusory aspect of life is all over the place, and as a Buddhist might define it, it's the result is desire. And sometimes the result of greed and, all of the aspects of trying too hard or maybe missing the mark of that universal intent. Again, we're talking about intent here. Something that was designed to be, something that is, that when we catch it the right way, when we hit the mark, well, now we are speaking to the very deepest aspect of us, that God within us, that beautiful innate intelligence. We are God speaking to God at that point and feedbacking ourselves into that God mentality, that God heart, that God soul, that God realization at that point. And we should never shrink from that word God. I mean, you can define it your way. But we all have this idea that, you know, well, I'm not in it alone. There's something else here. That sort of feedback, now it gets, you know, it's a physical fact. We are physical beings, and we're spiritual beings. And our physicality at the very best levels can feed back to our spiritual nature and vice versa. And that nervous system that Jim is talking about right now, that is the nervous system of God, the way it was designed to be. Beautiful, beautiful words here, Jim. I love this. Am I making some sense in what I'm intuiting from some of your words here?
You know, I love the camaraderie that you and I are sharing, and then we have the opportunity to share that with others. And I've been around, Core Resonance goes back to around 2006, and you know, it's not just highfalutin ideas. I mean, I've had numbers of clients. I see the same thing. I see the same success with clients. It's like, in some respects, we all have the same problems, and underneath the same problems is always the same solution, and it's about re-enabling our natural state. It reminds me of an idea that I've noticed in clients, and that is, and I'd like to get to top, you know, Fortune 200 CEOs at some point, because when people re-enable their natural state of connection with the cosmos, what we find is that everybody's core is a humanitarian. Their need to hold on and to keep things for themselves goes out the window when this more important connection becomes available, and I think we can turn the world around faster than you think by re-enabling this natural state. And if you look at Dr. David Hawkins' work and the exponential multiplier, one person at 700 on the map of consciousness counterbalances 70 million people below 200. Those are huge numbers. So as we become more conscious, we become exponentially contributive, and if the world's made up of fear-based glue holding things together, it'd be interesting to see how rapidly things might turn around. And, of course, I'm not into the linear version of how fast things turn around. I speak about it more in a generality, but yeah, I think we've got some interesting tools as we come to understand the importance that the nervous system plays in our connection with the cosmos.
Absolutely, and I want to direct people to your website, not just in terms of the URL. URL we've been talking about all show long, coreresonance.com, people. Go there, but I'm in there right now, and Jim has a lot to offer. If you go to coreresonance.com right now, you'll see a newsletter sign up, a free gift, video interviews and podcasts, and, of course, core resonance colonies that Jim was expounding on. Tell us a little bit about your newsletter, and particularly the free gift. We love things that are free in our society. Tell us the newsletter, free gift. Fill us in on that stuff at coreresonance.com, Jim.
Well, I've been doing newsletters since 2006 called Vision. I don't know how many of them I have, and most of them are offline now because this is a relatively new website as I move to WordPress and will eventually go to a finer site. But my latest bunch of work, if you will, started this last April, and all of those blog posts are on this website. And so the blog posts start out as newsletters, and so all of the basic main articles can be found in the blog post articles across the top of the page. In fact, the very last one was called Premise 3, Fundamental Freedoms. The first one, I think, had to do with the Super Bowl and the idea that the Seattle Seahawks trounced Denver Broncos team, and it turned out that these young guys in the Seattle team were all meditators and all did yoga. And the gist of the article is that when they become coherent as a team, they walked all over, I don't know, Peyton Manning from a hole in the wall, but somehow these, you know, because I don't follow football, but the other team walked all over the Denver Broncos. And I only walked in for the second half of the game, and it was astounding the difference. I ended up doing a little research and discovered. So that's what these articles are about, and the latest thing is about core resonance colonies. But let me say something about the free gift first. It's called Free Cell and the Keys to the Universe. And Free Cell is a card game. It's like a solitaire game. It comes on all PC computers, maybe not Windows 8, but XP and Windows 7, and you can get it on the internet and whatever. And I used this Free Cell game when I was writing my first book, which was an overwhelming project, or almost overwhelming. And as I would play the Free Cell game, and as I would start to lose, which means you're not seeing moves, and then you start making moves anyway, and you lose the game, what I discovered is as I started to lose the game, if I would have the restraint and walk away and come back to the game at a different point, I would see moves that I simply didn't see there before. And I consider that to be a very interesting phenomenon. It's not like that Bill Gates inside the computer is moving cards around while you're gone. It's literally things that you did not see or moves that you did not see were always there, and you can come back to the game later and win the game. And the principle is that everything is in front of you if but you could see it. And so Free Cell and the Keys to the Universe is it's something you download. It's on an autoresponder, so you get 8 or 10 emails. And then I've started offering a free call on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock, that'd be Pacific, for people to just get on and talk about their discoveries of this Free Cell and the Keys to the Universe. And so it's one of the things that I offer people to try to give them an insight of the scale, the magic that we have going on over here at Core Resonance.
And it's wonderful stuff there. Everything that you offer here, CoreResonance.com, my listeners love. I know my listeners. And they really want to take advantage of this. Now, run it down here. When they take advantage of some of this stuff, especially your coaching, you do the coaching by way of telephone, by way of Skype. How do you actually, if they want to have you to you know, coach them with your voice, with you know, the actual connection with you directly, how do you go about doing that?
Well, we're on Skype lines right now. I've had two incoming Skype lines for since 2007, so I'm really set up to talk all over the world. I use Google Hangouts now, Google Hangouts on Air, and I also have a setup called Leap. I think it's called Leap Screen. What is it called? Screen Leap. Where I can be audio with people with Skype and then have a video screen that we can use. But I think if I was doing video with people, I would probably use the Google Hangout. But I'm available to people all over the world. And I've got clients in Croatia and Mexico, and I've spent time on the phone with people in Russia and just all over the place, and all we have to do is get our time zone straight. And frankly, I'm actually very effective on the phone. I think it's because when you're on the phone, your senses, you've narrowed down your focus to just one or two senses that you're working with. You're not in a restaurant where you've got noises and on and on. As you probably know, you can be very effective on the telephone.
You know, you brought up a great point. I want to underscore that to my listeners. What you said, and I agree, telephone particularly, you know, it relates to a lot of other things too, but if we're talking about the phone, it limits us to, we're not feeling with our skin. We're not, necessarily reaching out and shaking hands that way, and we're not patting each other on the back. And we're really getting into some of the senses that matter. They all matter. we're getting into the hearing sense. And see, we know that, you know, look at Ray Charles, Jose Feliciano, Stevie Wonder. I mean, people who have restricted sense options, people who are blind sometimes, and yet they're great musicians. And we wonder how that can be. Well, it's not so much that they're blind. It's now that they're concentrating so much that that other sense that they have, that maybe tactile, a tactile sense, and another sense that we sometimes call the sixth sense, becomes activated more. That spiritual alignment with what they're doing and that intuitive alignment with what they're doing. When we limit some of our other senses, or, you know, maybe just work on one or two of the senses, they become heightened. Not that the others are really lost. The ones that we're really using become heightened. And I do that all the time with my shows. When I listen to people, I'm not listening just to their voice. I'm listening to their heart, to their soul. And when I make comments, I'm really addressing their soul at that point. And not necessarily just, the business aspects of what they do. And that's why I agree so much with what Jim is talking about. And, when he relates to you that way, through the telephone or through Skype, you can count on it. He's into your energy at that point, really focusing on that. So I want you to really take advantage of getting in touch with Jim here through coreresonance.com. And really hop on everything here that he's doing. He is an inspirational force in our world. And that is so very, very important. And on People in Distinction, you hear that all the time, with inspirational forces coming out. And Jim is among the greatest. This is really a pleasure. We've got a few minutes left here in this show, Jim. We want to take it out with some possibility thinking. And the possibility thinking is something that we've been doing all through this show. We've been pointing out great possibilities in people's lives. Now I want to point out the human family possibility of this planet Earth. When people catch on to your messages the way that you have caught on to them, when they essentially are feedbacking on your beautiful, coherent nervous system, and we're aligned that way to the things that you're aligned with, what differences are you going to be seeing, will we see in our world? I mean, notable differences, maybe economic differences, political differences, education differences, all of the things that we consider to be essential to life. And, yeah, well, that's just the way life is, and it can't change. Well, these things can change. What kinds of differences are we looking for in our possibilities here when we really catch on to the great work that you're doing?
Well, first off, our personal worlds become dramatically more, I don't know what the word is, interesting, exciting, adventurous. We have bigger grins on the inside of our brain. There's a term I coined a long time ago, synchronicity, harmony, and order. And my first book, Visionaries Thrive in All Times, is about reality creating. And so the quality of our reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of our connection with the cosmos. And so on an individual basis, I know you're talking about a global basis, but on an individual basis, the spring in our step shifts, the grin on our face shifts, because we've moved into a kind of an all-knowing state where there comes an ease, because we're in sync with guidance and order. And it's significant what it's capable of. And when you move into presence, you move out of, counting that stuff. I used to talk about going from smile to smile to smile was one of my descriptors once upon a time. But the other side of that is, my next premise is, I think, number 5. I just wrote the one for this coming week. But number 5 is the Maharishi effect, and I'm studying this right now. 4,000 meditators met in the District of Columbia over a 7-week period, and they ended up decreasing a serious crime problem that was actually daily on the rise, and they, at the height, they dropped it by 23.5% from meditators. And meditators are people that are moving into presence, and they're not running their minds and saying peace, peace, peace. Meditators are people that move out of their mind and they move into their connection. Like I say, for all my years of meditating, for the most part, I describe meditation as learning how to listen with my nervous system, which of course has proven to be very valuable to me. But and so the idea of Maharishi effect, where a 1% of a population starts to become influential. And then I just ran across another series of studies where they have 7,000 meditators, and I'm not sure where the, I just found this last night actually, and I'm researching it a little bit this morning, and they're having a dramatic influence on terrorism. Dramatic. And so that's just the beginning of when people start to become coherent, first off, internally, individually, and then become coherent as a group. I call it a vibrational island, by the way. Or there's, everybody's on vibrational islands anyway. We're in resonance with who we're a match for. And as people become more conscious, we become these invisible vibrational islands, and it is influential. And if I were to take another half a second, Naomi Klein just came out with a book, and rats, I can't tell you the name of it, but basically she's saying it's the economy, the economic model versus the global climate model. I'm kind of throwing terms around here. But what she's saying is that the economic model has got to give way for what's more natural. In other words, the earth is responding to this economic model, which is rape and pillage the resources of the planet, no matter the pollution, no matter the problem. And as we become more in alignment with what's true, I actually think this economic model, which seems to run most of the chaos on the planet, will fade. In fact, I like to, one of the things I recently discovered is that the man's made world created an economic model as an alternative for nature. In other words, nature is a system of success that everything abides by. The humans got out of sync with that, so they set up their own system of success, and they call it an economic model, and we know it's dysfunctional from the get-go because the human mind is dysfunctional from the get-go. And so as people line up with what's true, what fuels this economic model will shift, and we will go back into more sync and more order. And frankly, I believe the oceans will clean themselves up, and it sounds funny to say it like that, but all of this becoming coherent internally will become resonant with the cosmos, and in that I think there's a huge healing that becomes available. And I invite people to learn more about what I'm doing.
Oh boy. Hey, I love that, Jim. I love it, what you just said, and particularly, you know, the oceans cleaning themselves up. Hey, people, I've got to, you know, underscore something here. We're in, you know, the final minute or two of the show. It's been a wonderful, wonderful show. But I've got to say something here. Jim is spot on. When he's talking about the oceans cleaning themselves up, people, I want to point out something that is not obvious, but it should be. You are the oceans. All right? The oceans aren't just the oceans out there. The oceans are in there, in you. You are God, you know? I mean, we've talked about that, feeding back God to God. Well, you can feed back with the oceans. You understand that, you know, the inorganic matter around us is in us as well. Our bodies need iron to survive. Our bodies need copper, our bodies need phosphorus, and all sorts of, you know, the elements. They're not just out there. They live within you. They are consumed within you. They're metabolized within you. Now, it takes a certain sort of way to metabolize, but then it takes a certain sort of way to be born. and it takes a certain sort of way to, you know, to feedback positively. All of these things are exactitudes. We just don't know yet. So when Jim talks about, yes, it's not strange to me, the ocean actually just now expanding itself, realizing itself, cleaning itself up, because you are cleaning the oceans. You, your consciousness, is manifesting that within the ocean. That's a beautiful, beautiful concept, but it's an absolutely stunning reality that we have to look forward to. And I will say, the economy, you know, we take it for granted. Oh, yeah, sure, you know, it's just dollar bills and this and that, and printed by the Federal Reserve, and, well, that's the way it is. Well, God didn't make it that way. That's the way it is for a while. Was it that way 2,000 years ago with Rome? Or, you know, come on. These things can change, and they change according to our consciousness. I envision a world one day that is not based on money. It's based on love energy. Yeah. We pay each other with the greatest benefit of all, love. We'll harness that one day. We can't do it right now. Right now it sounds like, you know, pie in the sky airiness. But one day it'll be reality. Once we learn how to feed back God into our systems, as Jim was talking about earlier in the show. He didn't put it exactly that way, but that is the core of what he's talking about. We can do that, people. Believe me, we are in the process of doing that. We're living in a Renaissance time much greater than the 14th century or the 15th century or the 16th century. We're living in Renaissance times that will eclipse anything that human beings have done in the past. It will add to the greatness of what human beings have done in the past, and we will realize even greater epiphanies into our future. And it was Jim Hamilton who sparked me to say that. Jim, you are exemplary. You're doing wonderful things, and I just want to reach out to you in a handshake here over the telephone lines that I know you're feeling right now. And people, if you're feeling it, and I know you have to be, I want you to run to coreresonance.com. www.coreresonance.com. Get involved with everything that Jim does, and he can make it very easy for you with telephone conversations, Skype, everything. And he will transform your life as he's transforming this show right now with all of his wonderful, wonderful realities. Jim, this has really been a pleasure to have you on People of Distinction with Al Cole. You've got an open ticket, brother. Anytime you want to be on, that will be really my pleasure for updates on all of your great work. Thank you so much for gracing my People of Distinction stage today. It has been an honor and really supreme pleasure to have you on, Jim. Thank you so very, very much.
Al, thank you for the opportunity to meet your audience, spend time with you, and continue to refine my ability to express, you know, what I've been doing and learning about and wanting to share with people. Thanks.
There it is. That's the show, Jim. I'm going to have my assistant clip it off at that point. We're technically off air right now.
Okay.
Oh, baby. What a beautiful show that was.
Hey, thank you. We work together good.
Yes.
I like the way you finished the ocean idea. I think that was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, because I've been living it all of my life.